So I invite you, if you've got your Bibles, to turn to our passage tonight. It is the same one we read this morning for our call to worship, Psalm 116. And we'll look at just the first four verses. The psalmist tells us, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul." So in our text tonight, the psalmist leads us in recounting why we love the Lord. And let's consider in the next few moments some of the reasons we have to love him. I can't speak for all of us, but I know that I frequently need to be reminded, be stirred up by way of reminders from God's word, from the lives of the saints, and from my own life. As sometimes I just forget. So that's what we will aim to do in the next few minutes. Let's ask the Lord even now to cause our faith to grow and cause our hearts to be more aflame with love for him. Let's look first to the psalmist's situation. He tells us, "The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish." And perhaps you can think of scenes from your life where in which that was your state. If David was the author, and this is similar to some other psalms in the Psalter, we can certainly think of times in his life in great distress when he was being attacked by Saul, when he was on the run and going on the run, hiding in caves for months, being sold out by his friends, being hunted and run out of town by one of his rebellious sons. And all these in God's mercy give us a rich sampling of suffering and of the ways David poured out his heart to the Lord, and also how the Lord responded. And the demon-possessed man that we read about this morning in Mark 5, and you could certainly say this, He was uncontrollable. He was crying out and cutting himself with stones. I'm not sure exactly what that felt like, but it seems that being trapped or snared by death itself, that's a pretty good image. If there was a good illustration for someone being totally helpless, being enslaved, being gripped by the pangs of Sheol, that seems like a fitting illustration. So actually, this past week in God's providence, I did see an illustration that reminds me of this. I was on a plane back to Atlanta, and as we had about 20 minutes left before we landed, the man sitting next to me on the plane had 8 or 9 violent seizures. I'd actually moved up a few minutes after the plane took off and moved up a little bit and got a window seat and tried to catch a nap. So I turned around. When I heard this happen, but he was, I don't know if you've ever seen someone have a seizure, it's a little bit scary. Yeah, he was clenching his teeth and groaning and crying and shaking, and it sounded like he was in a lot of pain. You know, it was actually a little bit scary. But some RNs came back and helped him, and all I really could do was pray for him. And the Lord answered those prayers. When the plane landed, some EMTs came on board and, you know, gave him some medicine and carried him off, and as far as I could tell, he seemed, you know, on the way out, he seemed to be getting better. I know that's a grim image, but I couldn't help but think that maybe that's a little bit of what the physical suffering of hell must be like. Maybe you can think of some times when you or someone you know has been in great physical distress and anguish. Perhaps you can think of some situations where you felt this way in a spiritual sense. Maybe you were blindsided by some sort of tragedy, and the Lord felt really far from you. Maybe you were betrayed by a trusted friend or family member, and you just felt totally alone. Maybe you just felt trapped in some bitter sorrow, some disappointment. Can you today, with the psalmist, bless the Lord for his deliverance from those things? Whether the distress that we can recall is a fresh memory or a distant memory, we can all, as we read about this morning, read in these verses and see our spiritual slavery and sin. God's word tells us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins in which we once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived once in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So as we were reading that just a few minutes ago, we were firmly in the grip of Satan. The world and our flesh. And those of us in Christ, we were spiritually dead. Nothing we could do about it. But I love the two incredible words of good news that come right after that. But God. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. And this is why we love the Lord. He saw us in our miserable condition, and he loved us first. Our psalmist says he loves the Lord because he has heard his voice and his pleas for mercy. And what a treasure that God hears our prayers. He doesn't owe us that. But wrapped up in that word heard is, I think, much more than just knowledge from afar. Someone just hears you from way over there. It's action. God didn't just hear and know, but he took action. God is a God who is glorified by his amazing feats to rescue his people. He has decisively acted for the fame of his own name and for the good of his people. And he continues to act, and he has promised to act in the future. So let's think briefly together for a few minutes about reasons to love the Lord for his deliverance, both in a past and a present and in a future aspect. Let's think for a moment about God's action. So the Lord is indeed like a general who stands over his map in the bunker, and he directs his troops from a distance. He's got everything plotted out, and he gives orders behind the scenes, at least from our perspective, and things get accomplished. And I think that's kind of a fair illustration of one aspect of how God is active. He's also active like a captain who leads his troops into battle, and he fights with them on the front lines. So let's listen briefly to some of the Lord's words about himself from Isaiah. So I'm going to read a few passages together back to back from chapter 59, verses 14 to 20, chapter 40, verses 9 to 11, and chapter 42, verses 14 to 16. Hear what the Lord says. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, so will he repay wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies. To the coastlands he will render repayment. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream which the wind of the Lord drives. And a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him, and his recompense is before him. His reward is with him, his recompense before him, and he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, he will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. For a long time I have held my peace, I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out as a woman in labor, I will gasp and pant, I will lay waste mountains and hills, dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way they do not know. In paths they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, and the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. I don't know about you, but those passages in Isaiah just make me want to cheer and clap. Yeah, that is our champion. He's our hero. He stepped down into shame and misery to lead our rescue mission, to deliver us from the domain of darkness and transfer us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, to snatch us from the snares of death, to break the prison bars of sin and the grave and carry us out. No one could do it but him. And it was costly, but praise God, he accomplished it. Our salvation is an accomplished fact, and he deserves the glory and the honor and the praise from our lips. So let's give him that. We love the Lord because he came to the cross. Secondly, we love the Lord because he is still our deliverer. Part of our love to God is a gratitude for his past work, but another part of it is faith that looks to him for the current and for the future. Jesus told us that in the world, we will have trouble. Listen, I have no idea what awaits you on Tuesday morning. Maybe it's the coworker who wants to slander your reputation in order to get ahead. Maybe it's a phone call that a loved one has passed away. Maybe that test came back from the doctor and the results look pretty serious. Maybe it's just that task ahead of you that is so great, and you realize that it's just the strength is not in you to accomplish it. In these and any other circumstances, we have the same frame of heart as the psalmist. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. Deliver me from temptation. Your will be done. Glorify your name. Can I ask, how would it change our week, yours and mine, to look on our trials as opportunities for God to magnify his mercy? Don't get me wrong, it's not like, but not very likely, at least, that you know by next Sunday all the things that are stressing you this week are going to be just neatly resolved. Some of our crosses the Lord has designed us to carry for years and maybe some for our whole lives. But God delights in hearing our pleas and rescuing us. It shows to us and to the world that he is the one with all the ability, all the wisdom, all the power. We love the Lord because he will keep us. He delivers us day by day from snares of our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Have we seen and given thanks this week for ways that he has delivered us from evil? I was recently talking with a friend who previously he worked for the FBI for this part of this unit that combats child exploitation. And friends, that's one of the ways that God limits evil. My friend was telling me he had a hard time understanding that. You know, just must be a really awful person who could be possibly capable of that. And in one sense, you have to agree with him. But I told him, but for the grace of God, that could be you or I. I kind of stunned him and took him back for a minute. Do you sense the possibilities for evil in your own heart? Maybe that sounds like an extreme example, but isn't it a precious gift when the Lord keeps our feet from stumbling? I love the days when at the end my head can hit the pillow and just give thanks to God for how he has guided me through minefields and restrained sinful desires. I don't give thanks for that often enough. Lord, thank you for keeping me cool in that argument today. That could have ended badly. Lord, thank you for giving me the courage not to join in with that gossip and that complaining. Lord, thank you for keeping my eyes from lust today. Lord, thank you for keeping me from anxiety. Thank you for reminding me to listen to that sermon instead of vegging out in front of TV, or thank you for reminding me to read scripture today before I run off to Facebook or something else. That was just what I needed. Thank you, Lord. The Lord, in so many little ways, also works for our deliverance, and he deserves our praise and our love. So we love the Lord because he came to the cross. We love him because he snatched our souls from the snares of death. We love him because he keeps on saving us as we keep on calling on him. And finally, we can extend that characteristic of God into the future. We love the Lord because he will save us. Let's listen to these promises of Christ, which are so precious. From John 6, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And from Hebrews 7, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus' promise is that if we are his, he won't let us perish. He won't let us make a shipwreck of our faith. And when we die, he won't leave us in the grave. He is rich in mercy. We need to be people of deep gratitude, remembering and realizing all that the Lord has done for us. And we need to be people of deep faith, walking day by day and looking forward in expectation to God's continued kindness and grace towards us, of all that he will yet do to bless us in Christ. Like the kid who sees presents there under the tree in early December, he knows he has days or weeks yet to wait, but he knows it's going to be something great because his dad loves him and he gives good gifts. And so may the Lord continually fill our minds with examples of his mercy to us and to others. Psalm 111 tells us, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. And he has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. And the crowning jewel of his works that we praise and glorify him for, his work of redemption and all that flows out from that. Let us study his works and rehearse them and dwell on them and share them and overflow with gratitude and with faith. And may the Lord continue to deliver us this week, that our feet would not stumble in the trials that he allows in our path. And may he raise us up on the last day. Let's love the Lord. He delights to rescue his people. Amen. Let's pray. Worthy are you, Lord, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. God, thank you that you are a God who saves. Lord, thank you for saving us in Christ and for all the rich blessings we have in him. Help us to continue to look to him. In Jesus' name, amen.